Good morning, everyone. I'm James, I'm a member of community, and if you're in the room, I'm one of your hosts this weekend. Sorry, didn't get to meet me yesterday. Pause for just a second, then we'll hear a little bit from the Bible. Meaningless, meaningless, says the collector of wisdom. Utterly meaningless. Everything is meaningless. What do people gain from all their labors, of which they toil under the sun? Generations come and generations go, but the earth remains forever. The sun rises, the sun sets, hurries back to where it rises. The wind blows to the south and turns to the north, round and round it goes, ever returning on its course. All streams flow into the sea, yet the sea is never full. To the place where the streams come from, there they return again. All things are wearisome, more than one can say. The eye never has enough of seeing, nor the ear its fill of hearing. What has been, will be again. What has been done will be done again. There is nothing new under the sun. That was a bright little introduction to the morning, wasn't it? If I might possibly rephrase it and maybe add a little bit of my own slant, you could say we spend our lives add to your love. For you, the valleys shall sing for joy. The trees of the field shall clap their hands. Great is your name. Great is your love. Your love and mercy shall last forever. Fresh as the morning, sure as the sunrise. Great is your name. Great is your love. So much as Ruth would like me to do, I can't quite read the entire Chronicles of Narnia to you, but I will use some of the illustration. If you're not familiar with it, this is the last battle. This is the last book in the series. We've had the great sacrifice and the great triumph. This is when it seems like evil has won. They've been thrown into the stable, which is a place that has held a false god. And there's several people who have gone inside so far. Some of them believing in hope. Some who have completely lost their hope. And after that, said Edmund, about a dozen dwarves, and then Jill and Eustace, and last of all yourself. I hope Tash ate the dwarves too, said Eustace, little swine. No, he didn't, said Lucy, and don't be horrid. They're still here. In fact, you can see them from here. I've tried and tried to make friends with them, but it's no use. Friends with them, said Eustace? If you knew how those dwarves have been behaving. Oh, stop it, Eustace, said Lucy. Do come and see them. King Tyrion, perhaps you could do something with them. I can feel no great love for dwarves today, said Tyrion. Yet at your asking, lady, I would do a greater thing than this. Lucy led the way, and soon they could all see the dwarves. They had a very odd look. They weren't strolling about or enjoying themselves. I should pause here. I forgot something in my preamble about the stable. While it was a stable, it was outside this fire and it was used as a place of fear. It was a place to be thrown into at the end. When people who had hope went in there, they saw something very different. It wasn't a dark stable. It was a bright, open place, place with wonderful flowers and fruits and food and wine. It was a place of joy and a place of peace. So getting back to my reading after I forgot my preamble. Lucy led the way, and soon they could all see the dwarves. They had a very odd look. They weren't strolling about or enjoying themselves, although the cords with which they had been tied seemed to have vanished, nor were they lying down and having a rest. They were sitting very close together in a little circle facing one another. They never looked around or took any notice of the humans until Lucy and Tyrion were almost near enough to touch them. Then the dwarves all cocked their heads as if they couldn't see anyone, but were listening hard and trying to guess by the sound what was happening. "Look out," said one of them in a surly voice. "Mind where you're going. Don't walk into our faces." "All right," Eustace said indignantly. "We're not blind. We got eyes in our heads." "They must be darn good ones if you can see in here," said the same dwarf, whose name was Diggle.
"In where?"
asked Edmund.
"Why, you bonehead, in here, of course," said Diggle. "In this pitch black, pokey, smelly little hole of a stable."
"Are you blind?" said Tyrion.
"Ain't we all blind in the dark?" said Diggle.
"But it isn't dark, you poor stupid dwarfs," said Lucy. "Can't you see? Look up, look round. Can't you see the sky and the trees and the flowers? Can't you see me?"
"How in the name of all humbug can I see what ain't there? And how can I see you any more than you can see me in this pitch darkness?"
"But I can see you," said Lucy. "I'll prove I can see you. You've got a pipe in your mouth."
"Anyone that knows the smell of baccy could tell that," said Diggle.
"Oh, the poor things, this is dreadful," said Lucy. Then she had an idea. She stopped and picked up some wild violets.
"Listen, dwarf," she said. "Even if your eyes are wrong, perhaps your nose is all right. Can you smell that?"
She leaned across and held the fresh, damp flowers to Diggle's ugly nose. But she had to jump back quickly in order to avoid a blow from his hard little fist.
"None of that," he shouted. "How dare you?
What do you mean by shoving a lot of filthy stable litter in my face?
There was a thistle in it too."
"Your wonderful lion didn't come and help you, did he?"
"Thought not.
And even now, when you've been beaten and shoved into this black hole just the same as the rest of us, you're still at your old game, starting up a new lie, trying to make us believe that none of us are shut up, it ain't dark and heaven knows what." As community, we sit with you in the evenings and at the dinner table, and we have chats and we have conversation. Hopefully we build some relationship with all our guests who come here. Sometimes you get questions like, "So where's home?" Turn around and answer the question and say, "Well, here's home." But what are you going to do when you go back to real life? This is real life. In some ways, I would very much argue that this is a more real life than what goes on out there. It's really hard when we don't see the way things that God sees them. We see the war, the destruction, the pollution, the hate. God sees that too, but he also sees the hope and the love and the potential for relationship with one another. So let's get back to the prayers. Lord, bring new life where we are worn and tired. New love where we have turned hard-hearted. Forgiveness where we feel hurt and where we have wounded. And the joy and freedom of your Holy Spirit where we are prisoners of ourselves. To all and to each where regret is real, God pronounces pardon and grants us the right to begin again. Thanks be to God. Amen. So let's just pause for a moment and we'll look at the three things. We'll look at bringing God to our concerns for today. We'll bring God to the people of today. And then we'll pray for ourselves just for a moment. Lord, give us wisdom before we speak, understanding while we listen, sensitivity towards those we meet, and the perspective of your kingdom, in which to see the things of earth. Bring us to the day's ending, blessed through having shared the day's beginning. In Christ's name we ask this. Amen. So we'll go and find a little bit of that hope that I was talking about in Ecclesiastes. Go. Eat your food with gladness and drink your wine with a joyful heart, for God has already approved what you do. Always be clothed in white and always anoint your head with oil. Enjoy life with your spouse whom you love, all the days of this meaningless life that God has given you under the sun. For this is your lot in life and your toilsome labor under the sun. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. So, may God bless us. May God keep us in the Spirit's care and lead our lives with love. May Christ's warm welcome shine from our hearts and Christ's own peace prevail through this and every day, till greater life shall call. Amen.